And joining me now on the phone is Deputy Republican Leader in the Illinois House, State Representative Dan Brady from Bloomington. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure, Rick. Good to be with you. I know you get a chance to talk to a lot of different Bradys, but it's been a long time since you and I have had the chance.
Well, and it's good to talk to you again. But
it is.
But you've been busy. I mean, you're part of the budgeteers, as they're known, the budget negotiators in Springfield, and that still seems to be the fundamental question is, are we still on path towards getting a state budget?
The answer to that is yes. At this point, of course, you know, as well as anybody, that we've still got a ways to go, meaning till May 31st. And I think that at this stage of things, what I'm encouraged by, continue to be encouraged by, Rick, is the fact that the communication is still there. In fact, has gotten to an area where some legislators with specific knowledge and expertise in the budget have been working and are able to take those ideas and move those up to the leaders who continue to meet. And I think when you have the communications still ongoing and you have an agreement from the standpoint of let's continue these talks, let's continue to meet, let's let the rank and file legislators who have some expertise in some areas do their job and give us some ideas and resources maybe we hadn't thought of, that's all good. And that has been there and continues to be there. And there's been a minimal amount, really, of situations that cause everybody to have a hiccup and step back and move back from a negotiation table. So very encouraged, but we still have several days to go. And as you know, things can happen in Springfield very quickly and change.
They can turn on a dime over an argument about a dime.
Yes, they can.
But what would you say is attributable to this kind of change of climate in regarding budgetary issues?
Well, I think the biggest would have to be the fact that for 2 years, a little over that, we went out without a budget in this state. And we, as legislators, rank and file especially, saw what devastating action that was having on so many that depend on state government for funding. You know, from schools to social service agency and so many other areas of state government, public safety, and the list goes on. And so with that, I think that's a vivid memory that no one wants to repeat. And that's Democrats and Republicans. And I think that helps to spearhead the cooperation that's going on. Now, it's a big old state out there, and both caucuses are very diverse of members in the House I'm speaking to, as well as really the Senate. And so, you know, there's a lot of different interests of how we do this, but overall, it has been a much better, stable working environment than we've had in the past. And I just have to really point to a number of colleagues of mine that have continued to do a great job of leading negotiations and using their expertise in certain areas, whether that be Medicaid, part of the budget, or health care, higher education I've been involved with, so many. And people like Senator Heather Staines on the Senate side and her expertise, Representative Tom Demmer on our side, Senator Chapin Rose, Representative Greg Harris. I mean, they are there, and they are working constantly, and that's an encouraging sign. And so we're hoping that everything stays on track.
We're speaking with Republican State Representative Dan Brady of Bloomington. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Good Sunday morning, and welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We're speaking with Republican State Representative Dan Brady of Bloomington, Deputy Republican Leader and a House GOP budget negotiator. Representative, when I was speaking earlier in the program to Amanda Vinicky, one of the questions has arisen about where is the governor in the mix on when it comes to the issue of getting a budget, and questions seem to persist about whether or not he wants to see a budget deal come out of the legislature.
Well, I most certainly believe that Governor Reiner wants to see a budget deal come out of it. It's in everyone's best interest in the state that we do. He wants to see a full-year budget. He wants to see a balanced budget. And that is something that we're all working diligently towards. And the governor has certainly been involved with the leaders' meetings, which, as I indicated in the first segment when we talked, that continue. And that is something that's important because that wasn't there. At least the intensity of that wasn't there in recent years of putting together this, putting together a budget for a variety of reasons. But so a full-year budget and a balanced budget and no new taxes. And so, you know, that's a charge that the governor has had. And the overall tone, Rick, is in an environment is much better as far as communications on both sides going. Now, there's a variety of reasons for that. Some can say it's political year. No one wants to be back in a district trying to explain to voters when you're running for re-election why you don't have a state budget. But more so, I really think it's compelling on all of us that we certainly understand we don't want a repeat of what's occurred in the past, of an impasse, and we want to try and neutralize to the best of our ability our differences, focus in on our strengths where we can agree, and that's what's been going on. So certainly, my hope is, and I believe it will continue, and, you know, as long as we got that give and take going, we got a chance. We've got to remember we've got $6 billion in backlog bills. We've got over $130 billion, depending on who you talk to and believe, of pension debt. We've got some of the highest taxes there are in this country. And so those are all things that we have to wrestle with. Those are huge problems, but so far we are addressing those, and we are on track, I believe, for a budget.
One of the issues involving a budget, too, is also the issue of a capital budget. And we saw, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, the governor's request for $246 million to rebuild the Quincy Veterans Home, and that he wanted kind of expedited action on that. But we also kind of have seen, and I refer specifically to Senate President John Cullerton, saying that that should be considered as part of an entire budget package. And so we've kind of a little bit of leveraging going on. Just I wonder your thoughts on that.
Well, you could look at that as a little bit of leveraging, the Quincy's Veterans Home situation. But also we've got to stay focused on, as well, some of those capital projects that have been out there and that have been reappropriated every year since, gosh, in some cases, clear back to 2010. And I'm speaking in particular to a lot of capital projects, of obviously brick and mortar, in particular to some of our universities. And so where we can have a project coming out of the CDB, the Capital Development Board, and not only try and reappropriate, but have, whether it's a bond sale, what have you, to actually start releasing some dollars, that's very important as well. And so how we can tie that all together, well, that remains to be seen, Rick, but the important part is that there are those trying to get that done, and the environment is much better to work in.
I know, too, that there's a hearing scheduled in the House tomorrow about gambling expansion in Illinois, and I had Representative Rita on the program last week talking about now the emerging issue of sports gaming now that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided that states can do that. One thing that Representative Rita said was that sports gaming is something that kind of has brought all sides together. It's something that they all see something that they can get out of it. But I remain kind of skeptical that, one, the trying to legalize sports gaming in Illinois is going to be a very comprehensive thing and not something that can necessarily be done in 4 days. And that, absent that, there isn't going to be any kind of expansion of casino gaming to Chicago and some other communities. Just your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are certainly Representative Rita is much closer to that than I am, but I will tell you that around the Capitol, lobbyists and representatives of the national legalizing of gaming have been present. I don't believe you're going to see Illinois doing anything, obviously, before we get done with this session on that particular issue. And the other overall gaming issue remains to be seen as well. But when you look at that as obviously a revenue source, which the state needs, and you look at it as a revenue source that could be tied somehow to capital, it's certainly a player, at least the gaming part of it. The timing, I'm suspect of the fact that it can get done as well, but it could be something worked on over the summer and into a fall veto session.
Well, and I also thought, too, that it, not just for capital, but perhaps some kind of a debt relief fund for our pension debt.
Absolutely. And you know, I gave you the numbers earlier, estimated, of our pension debt. And any way that we can tie revenue into that, gaming, or other means, bonding, et cetera, that's what we're looking at and we'll continue to look at. And I think that because of some of those avenues being opened up, it looks as if there's a list, at least some avenues to explore that haven't been there in past years. And so that is encouraging, at least in my opinion.
I also wanted to ask you one last thing, and that, and I also spoke with Amanda Vinicky about this too, is the issue of gun control, gun restrictions, the governor's language also looking for a reinstatement of the death penalty. And it just seems like this is an issue that, of course, we have our diversity and regionalism and all of that, but it almost seems like that's nothing's going to happen there.
Well, certainly, if you look at the issue from a perspective of where I'm at downstate, it means a lot of different things downstate than it does up north. And looking at what the governor had put together in his AV plays differently downstate with downstate legislators. Now, whether or not there's going to be action taken, I don't know. I mean, certainly as a speaker, knows where he's going to advance or not advance. But the matter is, the reality as far as I'm concerned is that some of the things that the governor did interject certainly has some merit and at least should be looked at. But it certainly would open Pandora's box over the whole issue again. And I don't know that we're going to, whether we'll see that or not, I don't know, before Thursday, May 31st.
Still a lot of things moving along in Springfield, and we'll be keeping an eye on it, and we'll be keeping an eye with you, Republican State Representative Dan Brady. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, good to be with you anytime, and hopefully we'll see you down in Springfield this week.
Very good. Thank you.